Hello, friends. Denny Pertow here with a lesson from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. In this lesson, we're looking at question and answer 22. How did Christ, the Son of God, become man? In question and answer 21, we looked at the fact that Christ, the Son of God, did become man. Question 21 says, who is the Redeemer of God's elect? The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, became man. Yes, Christ, the Son of God, did become a man. We looked at this truth through the eyes of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2. Now, the question is, how did Christ, the Son of God, become man? Listen to the answer given in the Catechism. Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her, yet without sin. Christ, the Son of God, became a man. How so? He took to himself a true body. Pinch yourself. You feel the pinch, do you not? It's because you have a true body. And Jesus Christ took to himself a body just like yours and just like mine. Jesus Christ grew up in the home of a carpenter. And he learned the trade of a carpenter. He worked in the carpenter's shop. Did Jesus Christ ever get splinters in his hands? Yes, I suppose that he did. And did he have to take those splinters out of his hands? Did his mother have to help him take the splinters out of his hands? Yes, I suppose that that was the case. And did that hurt? Of course. Have you ever had a splinter in your hand? Did you ever get a splinter under one of your fingernails? It hurts. And so Jesus Christ took to himself a true body just like yours, you see. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ sweat. That sweat came out of the pores of his body. When you go out in the heat of the day and run and play, if you're a young person, or if you're an older person, and you are mowing the lawn or doing some other kind of work, you sweat. You have a true body. Jesus Christ had a true body just like yours. When Jesus Christ was flogged and whipped by the Roman soldiers before the crucifixion, his back was broken open by the scourging, by the whip. And some of the commentators say that the whip was of such a nature that it tore the skin of his back and the muscles of his back to such an extent that the internal organs may have been exposed. He suffered. He sweat. He bled. He had a true body just like yours. And when they pressed the crown of thorns upon his head, there were streaks of blood that came down his brow because he had a true body just like yours. And when he went to the cross and they put those spikes through his hands and his wrists, he was in great agony and he bled because he had a true body just like yours. And he died. What is death? Death in the first instance is the separation of the body and the spirit, or the body and the soul. Death is happens in this instant when body and soul are separated. And because Jesus Christ was fully man, he took to himself a reasonable soul, and when he died, there was a separation of body and soul. And he said to his Father, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And his spirit or soul went immediately into the presence of his Father. And then his body was placed in the grave. He had a true body, just like yours. And the Catechism says that he had a reasonable soul. What does the Catechism mean by the word reasonable? It means that Jesus Christ had a thinking, reasoning soul, that he was able to think through things. He was able to learn things and make decisions, just like you are able to learn things and to make decisions. Astoundingly, the Bible says that as a child, Jesus Christ grew in knowledge. That's an astounding thing. Why? Because he had a soul and a thinking apparatus that was capable of taking in knowledge and learning. He had a reasonable soul. And Jesus Christ, therefore, felt deeply various things. When Jesus Christ heard of the death of Lazarus, and he went to the tomb of Lazarus, the Bible says Jesus wept. He grieved deeply the death of Lazarus and the fact of death in the world. And the Bible often uses the term compassion that translates a Greek term that has to do with the guts or the inner person, how you feel. Sometimes we talk about an individual pouring out their guts because they feel so deeply with regard to the death of a loved one. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He grieved deeply and he wept. And Jesus Christ felt in his soul deep abandonment when he was on the cross. And the wrath of his Father was poured out upon him. And he was in deep agony before the Father because he was suffering. You see, he had a true body and reasonable soul. He suffered deeply the punishment due to you and due to me for our sins. And he felt the deep abandonment that one feels when forsaken by a father or mother. He cried out, my God, why have you abandoned me?" I remember being a little boy in Cleveland, Ohio. My father was in the Navy, and my mother worked as a secretary, and she would take me to the home of a lady and drop me off there to stay during the day while she was at work. And I remember quite well, after she dropped me off one morning, running as fast as I could after the car and crying and yelling out to her, "Mom, don't leave me! Mom, don't leave me!" Here I was, a little boy, feeling abandoned by my mother and left to the care of another. Jesus Christ felt abandoned by his Father. He had a true body and reasonable soul. And how is it that he took to himself this true body and reasonable soul? Well, he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He left heaven and entered this world via the womb of the Virgin Mary. Two things to note here. Back to Philippians chapter 2, and listen to what Philippians chapter 2 says. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. He left heaven and became a man. You look at the Trinity, and you look at the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, from two different perspectives. Within the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the same in substance, equal in power and glory. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is equal with the Father, the same in substance, in essence, with the Father. But the Son of God became man. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You see, the second person of the Trinity was and is God. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh." The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, became man. In his role as Redeemer, the second person of the Trinity submitted himself to the will of his Father and became a man in order to work out the redemption of people like you and me. As Jesus Christ said in the Garden of the Gethsemane, looking at what he was to endure on the cross, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." In his role as the Redeemer, Jesus Christ submitted to the will of the Father and became a man. What an amazing thing this is. And how did Christ the Son of God become man? By taking to himself a true body and reasonable soul. Having been conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her. Listen to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." We highlight the fact that Mary had not known a man. She was a virgin. She was an individual who was not married and had not had sexual relations with a man. "And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Yes, the Holy Spirit would come to Mary, and she would have a son. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin, since I've never known a man?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for this reason the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." The Holy Spirit will overshadow you and conceive in your womb a Holy Child, Jesus. Earlier in the catechism, we looked at the fact that all mankind fell in Adam's first transgression. And when we looked at that truth, we looked at answer 16. The covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity, all mankind descending from him by ordinary generation sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. Now, since Mary conceives in her womb, not having had relations with a man, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by ordinary generation, but by extraordinary supernatural generation, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, enters into the world via the womb of the Virgin Mary. And the Catechism adds this, "and yet without sin." Yet without sin. Even though Mary, a sinful person, someone who has been subject to the fall, the baby conceived in her is without sin. How can this be? The Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and miraculously, it seems, suppressed sin within her, so that Jesus Christ entered into the world pure and holy, untainted by the sin of Adam. This is your Lord Jesus Christ. This is your Redeemer. Who is the Redeemer of the Lord Jesus, of God's elect? Only the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God became man. How did the eternal Son of God become man? Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body, a body just like yours, a reasonable soul, a soul just like yours, being conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her, yet without sin. Without the transmission of sin to the Holy Seed, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ now becomes the Lamb of God without spot or blemish, who can be sacrificed for the sins of the world. This is your Lord Jesus Christ. This is your Redeemer. Give thanks to God for His great plan of redemption and for Jesus Christ, the only Redeemer of God's elect and the great Lamb of God, the spotless one who was born of the Virgin Mary. Thanks for listening.